very basic level of life, everything takes money. Okay, that's why your parents told you when they get out of here, because they want to live their own life, and you gotta go and live your own life. Okay, so it takes money. You have to build your own resources. You have to move forward on your own. Okay? You have to learn to stand on your own legs, right? And that takes money. So it has to maintain a community like Arch. And so if you don't have a skill, but you just happen to be well paid for whatever you do, and you do enjoy Arch, well, that's a way to contribute. You don't have to contribute millions, you have to contribute thousands. Just kidding. Just contribute whatever you can. Okay? And small contributions, one on top of the other, make a large difference. So that's all it takes sometimes. Another way to contribute is a program you wrote. And I know a few of you have written programs that are not necessarily posted for what we have been talking in the last few days. That's an excellent opportunity to contribute, because you don't have to bring to the community an absolutely, what was the word, large and professional like the GNU. Okay? That's all you have. But when you go to the community, then all you have may actually one day be just like Linux. And B, just a strategy. Once it goes to the community and then it wants to build upon it, you never know. You may not write some of the programs that other people write in here, or languages, I'm sorry, so you can contribute to a specific project because you don't have that particular language skill to code on. But if you know another language and you like to use it, and you write a program on it, that's an excellent opportunity to contribute. Ideas are welcome. For the moment. Yesterday was, I was talking to Dan, and him and I were talking about package signing. And it always been interested in package signing. And actually, this is a good example because as we were talking, I realized I don't write code in the program he wrote, so I couldn't really contribute. But as we were talking, we began sharing about the concepts we were working with. And by the end of our conversation, I sort of walk away with the impression that perhaps I had given a few ideas that he might use, whether he uses them or not, I don't know, that's up to him. But the point being is that sometimes you don't need an answer to the problem. What you need is an option, a new idea, a new concept, and you work with it. And you find your own answer. Okay. So sometimes if you contribute ideas, and they are relevant to what we're trying to do, that's all that's needed. Another aspect to contribute is to make the community friendlier. I actually joined Arch, and I spent about a year never posting one single post. I would monitor what was going on in the forums, okay, would sign in to what was going on in the forums, browse when I needed for answers, and I realized that, you know, like any other community, that community, we have here and there a few disagreements. Flame wars are bad. And the truth is that a community that can avoid them, there's no community that truly can avoid them, but a community that can minimize them will certainly be appealing to anyone, because people don't have time to waste on arguments. And so when we are the ones that are prepared to say, whoa guys, this is getting too hot already, let's calm down, and we can bring a suitable word to an argument, we make the community friendlier, appealing to others that are perhaps looking at joining that community. And this is something, it's just an idea I'm going to draw here. Keep the standards high by making contribution easier. And let me explain what I mean. I don't know if I'm talking to the right crowd, but hopefully those the powers that be will somehow get to hear this. In working with communities, what I have found is that a lot of people would contribute, but they really don't know how. So oftentimes in community work, what you do is, as you're working with people, you find that some of them will say, I really would like to do anything you guys need. Okay. He's an open, a blank check. You write whatever you want of him. Okay. But how does he know where he's going to contribute, where he fits? Well, oftentimes what we do is we have what we call help needed. And in that help needed section, we will say specifically, we need somebody to fix this, we need somebody to do that, okay, that sort of idea. And I haven't seen Arch, for that matter, most projects are open source, they don't have such a feature. They don't have a way where people can be listed what we need. So if you really want to contribute and you don't know what to do or what your skills fit, you look through that list and say, oh, I fit in here and I fit in there. So I'm going to contribute. Okay, looking sometimes through all the projects to see where I fit, it may not happen. It's least likely to happen. But if certain projects need help, certain aspects of the person need help, and we have a way where people can find it, they're more likely to contribute. That's been my experience working with people. And what do we have in the community? We have people.
Just wondering, looked at the Wikipedia, how to get involved and stuff like that. Have you seen that or what are your thoughts about that?
Well, yeah, I've seen the page, but it doesn't tell me where specifically you need help. It's just, you know, browse through here, look at that, find what you need. Okay, it's much broader scope. If you narrow the scope, it is likely that people will go, oh, I fit in here and I fit in there, as opposed to go looking. Because especially when they don't have coding skills, they don't even bother. The moment they go there, they think, oh, it's all coding, right? I don't know how to do any of that. So they don't do it. Okay, so, and that's why I'm just pointing that out. Just a thought. And finally, another way to achieve is, seek for an opportunity. There are opportunities. In the midst of challenge, there's opportunity, remember? So look for an opportunity. Let me tell you a story. It's a true story, too. About this guy that was on the internet once. And he was poking around and he heard of this Arch Linux conference in Germany or something like that. And he was, gee, that sounds really cool. So he goes out and he posts, where am I getting an Arch conference? Okay. And then, I guess, another guy was hanging around on the internet too. Right? And the other guy goes and tells the first guy, more or less, well, we're a small community, but if you do not try, you know, it will never happen. You've been tried before, but it didn't work out, blah, blah, blah. And then the conversation derived into something like, but you know what? I dare you to do it. I dare you too. And then the other guy goes like, well, I dare you three times. See what you can do with that. And eventually, after all that intelligent conversation, a while later, this post came up. Okay. And why did we do that?
God knows.
I think we did it because we can. We can make a difference
when we work together.
We knew that. Probably our reasons were somehow different. My reason was, actually, I wanted to contribute something and give something back to the community I have received so much from. So I wanted to do something for the community. That's his reason. I don't know what his reasons are. Let us not ask. but it happened. We are here. And that's the interesting thing. It's not about the possibility. You guys are it. You are the first community. And from the perspective of Arch, you just made history. When the history of Arch is written, you guys were it. ArchCon 2010, and you were there. You witnessed it. You just wrote history on Arch. And it's fantastic. I mean, congratulations. That's outstanding. You just made it happen. In closing, I'd like to share with you another story. This story is also a true story. And what actually happened was, let's see. There was one of the guys in here that was from Washington, D.C. And this story happened right in his town. Okay? And what happened is that it was the morning of January 2007 in the D.C. metro station. And it was cold, and people were just rushing by to go to their jobs. There were an average that morning of 2,000 people that went by. And right there was a young man playing the violin. He was playing some very intricate pieces from Johann Sebastian Bach. Very complex pieces, six pieces in fact. And as he was playing, in the first 3 minutes or so after he began playing, a middle-aged man noticed that this guy was there. He slowed down his pace, he listened to him for a brief moment, and then he went on his way. About 4 minutes later, the violinist received his first order. And then, a mother came with a child about 6 minutes later, and as she was walking with the child just stopped right there in front of the musician and began looking at him. And the mom said, "Okay, hurry up, hurry up, hurry up." And she began tagging along and kept on looking backwards, trying to see the musician playing. And mom said, "Okay, I don't have time for this. Move it." And they disappeared too. And interestingly enough, this happened with several kids as they went by. About 10 years later, a 3-year-old boy stopped, and his mom again tagged him along to move quicker. About 45 minutes later, the musician, who had been playing continuously, had by then had only six people stop for a few moments, and about 20 of them gave him money, and he continued to play. The man collected in total $32. After an hour, he finished playing, and sadly took it home. No one noticed when the man finished, no one applauded. He just picked up his staff, his hat, his $32, and went away. Nobody also knew that that man was Joshua Bell, one of the finest violinists in the world. People paid top money to see that man. The day after that presentation he did in the subway, he had a presentation also. I think it was in somewhere in the States, in Boston. He had a presentation in Boston. And in that presentation, the cheapest ticket you could get was $100. Played in that day in the subway with a violin that was worth $3.2 million, but nobody noticed. The same violin he used to play when he was charging $100 minimum per melody. And the question is, what does this story has to do with us? But it has a lot to do with us. Because oftentimes it's all a matter of perception. We are the worst judges of our own ability to contribute. Oftentimes we minimize in our mind what we can contribute and we don't. Because we feel it's too little, it won't make any difference. But it can make a difference. You go to the community, you can make a difference. And why would we do that? Because we can. Because we can make a difference. I'd like to thank every one of you for what you have contributed to my learning of Arch, to my experience in this community. I'd like to thank you for your presentations, for your contributions this day, and for the certain contributions in the future. Thank you very much.